Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of the Growing Up Chaotic Show, the show that provides a 360-degree view on all topics related to addiction, recovery, domestic violence, and mental illness. I am your host, Dawn Clancy. Today, it's with great pleasure that I welcome to the show director, editor, producer, and creator of Little Birdie Films, Angelica Hester. Angelica is here to talk with us about her latest project, a feature-length documentary film called Cuffed, a film that's meant to explore the most important questions about addiction, recovery, and life. Hi, Angelica. How are you? Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Dawn. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. So you're here to talk about your new project, Cuffed. Go ahead and give us the details about the film.
Sure. So Cuffed, it's very much so a passion project of mine. I've come from a pretty heavy background that has a lot to do with addiction and now recovery. But basically the way the film is being formulated is we're following the lives of five individuals who are suffering in the throes of addiction or whose lives have been irreversibly affected by addiction. And through those very human, real stories, we're exploring major topics that have to do with addiction, including stigma, the challenges of recovery, the cultural definition of addiction and why that kind of holds people back from recovery. And then on top of that, we're also going in to explore alternative options to recovery, because in the United States now, the recovery system is completely failing us and for multiple reasons. And so the film also explores why that is. And we take the opportunity to interview experts throughout the United States who are part of the current recovery system or some that have detached themselves from that to find alternative ways to help people.
Now, you mentioned that right now, you mentioned the way that we define addiction culturally is holding us back. Could you maybe just go into that a little bit and how that influenced the film?
Sure, yeah. So addiction, I mean, the film goes into defining addiction in three ways. It's a very multifaceted disease, and to me it is a disease, and that's part of the problem. The cultural understanding of addiction is, you know, the stigma is alive because it's still considered by many a flaw, a moral flaw, you know. People don't understand it as a sickness just as much as cancer is a sickness. And so we consult with neuroscientists, we consult with psychologists, we consult with, you know, anthropologists, people that can say this is how addiction has been received by our society, and this is where it's on point, and this is where it's wrong. And a lot of that is the, you know, the criminalization of drug addicts in the United States. It's still something that, you know, if someone has a drug problem, they're considered a degenerate and an outcast of society, and you really get that reaction of why should we care? But mm-hmm. we should care because it, you know, addiction is not just a disease, but it's also a product of what we as society do to people that don't quite feel connected to the rest of the way our society works.
One of the interesting, or what I found to be most interesting about your approach to this film is that you are, as you said, you're including different aspects, different points of views. You're in the trenches with people that are struggling with addiction as well as going to the experts and getting their opinions. You're taking it from an emotional, a physiological, and a social side. And you're tackling all the issues that come up in dealing with all these different voices and perspectives. And then you're also focusing on opiate addiction in the U.S. So I wanted to see if you could talk about why you chose to focus on opiate addiction and what have you learned from the film, from working on this film? What have you learned about it?
Yeah, so opiate addiction, there are two main reasons why I chose to focus on opiate addiction. Well, actually, three. One is it's such a huge subject, and to cover addiction in a 90-minute film in a complete way and touch on everyone, I didn't feel like I would have the time to really get deep into to showing what that life is really about. So I wanted to pick one route of addiction that, for me, opiate addiction is just my firsthand experience. I grew up father being heavily addicted to opiate drugs all my life, all my existence. So it's just something I'm very familiar with. And I think because right now the heroin addiction is on the rise in the United States, and that stems from the pill epidemic that's starting to fall next to heroin because of the fact that people get onto opiate addiction to pills, and then that leads to heroin addiction because of cost and a variety of other reasons. So to me, it seemed like an immediate concern that we really should be paying attention to.
You mentioned that you have this personal element to it. You mentioned that addiction runs in your family. And in one of the small little, I don't know if you'd call it a commercial that you have up on your Kickstarter campaign site, which we're going to get to in a moment, you talked about how addiction affected you as a child. And if when you were 8 years old, if you had a tool like this, if you had a film like this that you could have watched, it possibly could have helped you to understand. So I guess, is that what you're hoping that people are going to get out of this film? Like someone who's struggling with addiction in their family, just as you were, what do you hope that they get out of this?
I mean, and I've said it before in other interviews, I feel like you can only hope so much with what you put out there. But to me, the film is just sparking a dialogue. But I also hope that, the lessons we present, the real life lessons we present through these individual lives, and also, the tools that we have stumbled across through the filmmaking, for people that are still struggling with recovery, I'm hoping that those will be things that an individual watching the film can either utilize for themselves or take and help someone that they know. A huge theme for me, and this has been a huge theme in my life, is that addiction is a family disease. So as much as the individual is suffering and needs help, the family also does. You don't realize when you're in it a lot of times how much it affects your identity to love someone that is suffering with addiction. And so I'm hoping by exploring that theme, by being vulnerable to that theme, people can see like, okay, it's not that I'm flawed. I don't know how to love this person to make them better. It's that this person is really sick, and part of loving myself is to encourage them to take control of their own recovery, which is another way that I think recovery in the United States is failing, is that a lot of what goes into it is an addict will go into a facility to help them recover, and they're kind of looking for the fix me. How do you fix me? And that's across the board in the United States. People struggling with obesity, it's like they want the quick fix. What's the pill? And that leads down to more of the addiction. It's replacing one thing for the other. And in reality, it's saying, no, look deeper into yourself. Work on yourself. Work on what works for you. There's no one way for addiction recovery, but there are a variety of tools out there that can really help someone if they can get in touch with themselves and know what's right for them.
So it's absolutely true, and it's actually something that you said in an interview you did with Sober Nation, talking about how there's no one-size-fits-all answer to recovery. And I think, and I couldn't agree with you more, and perhaps that's because, like you, I grew up with addiction, so I've seen it from a different perspective. But it seems like in the addiction, at large, it seems as if we're failing because we're looking for the solution when there isn't just one. There are many. There are many, and why would we take that away from someone if taking up the hobby of running is going to help someone with their addiction? Why would we say no? You have to do this.
Absolutely, and that's. A part of what the film touches on for opiate addiction in the United States you know, methadone and Suboxone are the biggest tools within the recovery system to help treat opiate addiction. And when I first went at this film, I was going at it from a place of, I think it's terrible. I don't believe in methadone. I don't believe in Suboxone. It's replacing one drug for another. In my personal experience with my father, methadone did nothing but make him high, but legally all the time. So for me, I addressed the film like, no, this is the bad guy. As I've gone through it and consulted with the experts, I see how it can be a tool in terms of helping people wean off of their opiate, but I also see how the regulation and the way it's administered here is very flawed. It's become part of the capital system that mm-hmm. America runs on. So I kind of have found a new approach to looking at it in that, okay, fine, we have this drug that can help you wean off of heroin, wean off of Oxycontin, wean off of Vicodin. But you can't just stop there. You as an individual have to want more than just to get by. I want people to thriving lives, and mm-hmm. I'm still searching for that case with methadone where people are thriving and not just getting by.
Right, exactly. Now, speaking of recovery, I mean, you did mention that you grew up around addiction. You've mentioned your father. And as you said, and I totally agree with you, it's a family disease, and family members also have to seek out their own recovery. They also need to get help. Has the process of making this film been part of your healing for you?
Absolutely. I definitely can say that for sure. I mean, two things. One is, you know, it's helped me identify with my father, who he still, you know, is in the throes of working through his addiction. And it is about supporting him so much, but it's also, you know, there's times as someone that loves someone that's suffering with addiction, you almost give up yourself completely to their struggles because you think mm-hmm. they need me more than I need me. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely helped me find that balance of saying, no, you know, I'm discovering things about the complexity of the disease that I don't need to give all of me to you for you to get better. I can be supportive of you. I can be open to you when you need me, but I don't need to totally surrender that. And you know, that codependency thing that comes along with it.
Yes.
Which is, yeah, I mean, anyone you talk to that has been in a family with addiction, codependency is that number one thing, and you see it in every other relationship in your life. You know, if you have a boyfriend mm-hmm. or a girlfriend, you see it. It comes up, and you're like, wow, like, why is this so ingrained in me? So it's just, it's been a lot of soul searching on my own part working through this film to discover the new things I'm still holding on to and I'm still needing to recover from myself.
Right, right. No, and you mentioned codependency, and I swear I never even knew what codependency was until about 6 years ago. I opened up a book and found the word codependency, and I'm like reading all the characteristics. And in that moment, I felt like, oh my God, I totally make sense now. Like, this is why I act so crazy. Like,
you know, this is why I like get so nuts with my boyfriend, and you know, like it gets real. And that's the other thing is like, unless you take a step back and kind of look at yourself and see how you're contributing to the toxic part of the relationship, mm-hmm. you're going to carry that on in anything else you do in life. And it's just going to perpetuate it. So I think that's a big part of the film too, is just asking people to take a step back and just say like, hey, like how am I suffering and affected by this now, and how can I be the one to help myself? Because an individual can only be the one to save themselves.
Exactly. Along with this film, you have, as I mentioned, you produce these little shorts where you've gone out to Grand Central Station in Manhattan and Union Square, and you were kind of pulling people off the streets like, hey, asking them questions about what they knew about methadone treatment or what they knew about addiction. And it's interesting because most people seemed pretty I mean, the people that ended up in the little, I don't know what you would call them, like little commercials, they were open to talking about it. But as you know, there's a lot of stigma associated with addiction. Did you find that when you were making those videos? Like, were there people that were just like, I don't want to talk about this?
Yeah, and it's funny because we didn't really know what we were going to come up against. It was just, to me, I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to get in people's faces and make them talk about it and take away that shame that's so attached to it. And we definitely did. We ran up against people who would adamantly deny knowing anyone or having any connection to addiction. And then, you know, we would follow up by posing the question, well, you know, what do you do to escape reality when you need a break? And a lot of people, the majority of them would say food, you know, which is in itself another form of addiction. You're abusing something to escape reality. So we definitely came up against people that would just refuse it, would say, no, I don't want to talk about it, no. And that was part of the challenge, but I was so blown away by the people that would say, wow, like, yeah, this is hard, but I'm happy you're talking about this. Mm-hmm. And we found that more often than the other. So that was a really cool surprise, and it just inspired this whole new thing. You spoke about Sober Nation before. We're planning to start creating these content videos online to offer people out there more of a connection to the, hey, you're not alone. We all have this struggle somewhere in our lives, and this is what we've done about it. Maybe you can use some of our tools. So,
right.
So yeah, it's an exciting process.
And you also mentioned, it's funny because when you say to someone or somebody asks you, what are you doing? Oh, I'm creating, I'm producing a documentary about addiction, or, you know, what do you do? I write about addiction. It floors me the number of times the person I'm speaking to will say, oh, my mom was, or oh, my brother, or oh, my cousin, or oh, my roommate in college was. It's just like so many people are impacted by this, but it's something yet we don't want to really talk about. It's just really odd to me because it's all there. You know, we're all thinking the same thing, but, you know, we're not all at that point where we're brave enough, you know, to produce a documentary or to go out on the street with a microphone and ask people straight up, you know, what do you know? So it's just a weird, I don't know what you would call it, but everybody's kind of going through the same thing, you know?
It is strange. And it's funny you say that because, you know, I'll use this as an example all the time. I was at a dinner party the other night, and I was talking to some people, and it came up like, oh, well, what do you do? And I say, you know, I work in TV and film. Oh, and like, what are you working on now? And I'll say, oh, you know, this documentary, Cuffed, it's about addiction and recovery. And I would say about 60% of the table will pretty much leave the conversation from there like, oh, how nice, and kind of shy away, their body language closing off. But then there'll be those people like, wow, like, why? And they'll start asking you questions. Why are you doing this? What inspired you? And then it'll eventually get to the, you know, my uncle or my mom or I had a problem for a while. And you're just like, yeah, like, that's why we're doing this. That's what this is for.
Right. Yeah, I'm always amazed at how serious people get all of a sudden. And I'm not making fun of them because I realize, you know, this is something that we're working on is creating, you know, this movement or this conversation. But people get real serious all of a sudden. It's like, no, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, people, it's such a scary subject to so many people to talk about because I think they feel like it's going to make them flawed in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that, you know, it for us, because we've lived so much in it and we've both taken steps to be more vocal about it and push past it, you know, part of the talking about it is healing yourself through it. And so, yeah, it's the same with me and same with my sisters. Like someone talks about it and they ask us about, you know, growing up for us or our father, we'll say it with a smile on our face because we're all in a pretty good place now with it. It's not like any of us are in that deep part of suffering still. And people get kind of disarmed, like, why do you say all that with a smile on your face? And it's just like, well, because I'm okay now. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
It made me a stronger person.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think people realize that there probably was a time where you couldn't talk about it. There probably was a time where it made you upset or, you shied away from it, but it was through the process of talking about it and getting help that now you can, with a smile on your face, not because you're being sarcastic, talk about these things. It's just interesting. It would be interesting to do a film about that, you know?
Stigmas alone. I think that was kind of part of it, too, was like, I just remember growing up and, you know, there would be parents that wouldn't let me hang out with their kids because, my dad. And it was like, to me, there was, you know, you grew up thinking, God, there's something wrong with me. This sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a loser. And then you get mad at your parent. And then, you know, you go through all those phases. And then it's like this spiritual evolution almost where you just wake up one day and you're like, no, F that parent. Like, they were ignorant.
Yeah.
That's not right. I was a little kid, you know? So it's kind of like, for me, this was the part of saying, like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm a really awesome person. And, yeah, I came from this dark place, but that makes me even more awesome.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Yeah, that's totally true. Oh, wow. Good for you. Please. Okay, so let's start talking about your Kickstarter project because you're coming towards your end date with that, your end point with that. But tell us everything we need to know about your Kickstarter project.
Sure. Yeah. So we have 3 days left, and we're raising $60,000. The last 2 years, I've been filming this film for the past 2 years, all out of my own pocket. Making a film is really expensive, and because it spans across the United States, it involves a lot of travel on top of paying my crew, paying for equipment. So $60,000 is where we're at to complete it, to get the filming done. And so once we get that money in, we'll be able to shoot probably about another 6 more months, and that includes going back, finishing the individual stories, and then consulting with a couple more experts throughout the United States. And then from there, we'll go into the post-production process, which will be about another 6 more months. But, yeah, 3 days left on the campaign, and we still need all the support we can get. So if people can go check it out and even leave your feedback, you know, there's a way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. And what's the website for Kickstarter, or if people want to just learn more about the project?
Sure. So the website for me and the film is littlebirdiefilms.com. And for the Kickstarter exclusively, it is bit.ly/CuffedKickstarter.
Cuffed Kickstarter. And while we're on the subject of Cuffed, where did you get that idea for the title from?
So the title, initially it came from, I grew up knowing methadone as being referred to as liquid handcuffs. And, you know, the title for the film came naturally in that term, but to me it goes beyond methadone because the film is beyond methadone. Methadone is just a small character in the film. What cuff to me means is, are we locked in? Like, are we stuck, you know, being addicted? Are we stuck not finding a way out in recovery? So it's cuffed with a question mark. Are we stuck? Are we locked in here, or can we actually get the change we need?
Oh, wow. That makes total sense. Wow, that's incredible. Well, Angelica, thanks so much for coming on and for sharing information about this project and everything you shared personally. I mean, I think, you know, it's clear that this project has a lot of heart behind it, and I really appreciate that you have taken these experiences that are so personal and are using them to, you know, fuel this conversation and start it, and it's incredible. I just want to thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you. I think what you're doing is amazing as well. And I hope you keep going with this because
we're amazing. We're amazing, right? I mean, basically you said it. You're awesome. I'm awesome.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, you know, just keep that voice up. Keep going with it because that's what we need. We need the conversation to continue.
Absolutely. So what are, just one last thing, where is the end point for this? Like, when can we go to like Facebook and find out when the film will be ready, or how can we get in touch with you about that?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, join our mailing list. If you donate to the campaign, we take your email and we add it to our mailing list, and we'll keep you updated on the production of the film. And you can also like us on Facebook, Cuff Film, and we'll always be keeping everyone updated, so we'll let you know.
Perfect. All right, Angelica, thanks again. You have a great day.
Thanks, Dawn. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so for more information on Cuff the Film, you can go to littlebirdiefilms.com, and it's Little Birdie Films, B-I-R-D-I-E. That's how you spell birdie. And for the Kickstarter campaign specifically, you can go to bit.ly/cuffedkickstarter.com. And as Angelica said, you can get in touch with them, Facebook, et cetera, to be updated on the film and, of course, to make a donation. That would be wonderful because their Kickstarter campaign is actually going to be ending, I believe she said, this Friday. Lots of good stuff. So for more information on Growing Up Chaotic, you can visit the blog at growingupchaotic.com, and we can also connect on Facebook at facebook.com/growingupchaotic and on Twitter at Growing Up Chaotic. And again, for Twitter, that's spelled GRWNGUPCHAOTIC. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Angelica Hester for making this show possible and for taking on the project Cuffed. Until next time.